This is RevTech Podcast, where we discuss everything from business processes to measurement and technical alignment. The RevTech mission focuses on effectively managing and optimizing the go-to-market strategy through methodologies, tools, and best practices. We discuss the success criteria and technical fit guides for decision-making and ensure solutions align with the business goals. In this episode, our guest is Kevin White, the head of marketing at Common Room. It's great to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really happy to be here and excited to share some of our world.
Yeah, welcome, Kevin.
We are excited.
Yeah, we're excited to chat more. So let's just kick this off with giving us kind of the elevator pitch for what Common Room is and does.
We call ourselves a customer intelligence platform, which is, you know, maybe like a category or category speak. So like what we really enable is a way to do more efficient go-to-market. The three pillars of this platform are kind of like the critical workflows that you would need to execute go-to-market intelligently. Those different things are signals. So it's capturing buying signals from digital breadcrumbs left across the internet. And then the second pillar is the identity and enrichment side of things. So knowing who's behind the signals and what accounts are behind the signals makes a really big difference in who you reach out to. And then the third piece is the ability to engage or to take action on those signals by way of an alert, a marketing workflow, or a outbound email sequence. So it's kind of like putting together that whole end-to-end flow of everything from capturing a signal all the way to taking action on that signal. And then, of course, there's AI baked in to help out along the way. So that's a quick pitch or elevator pitch. And hopefully, I think the audience I'm speaking to kind of gets all those different things. My mom, maybe not so much.
I think they will. I'm curious why, because often these are called like a sales intelligence room or something around that. You guys clearly chose to use customer. And I'm curious if that was like a thoughtful decision or just happenstance.
Oh yeah, every single word was definitely thought out in terms of category creation or what do we call ourselves? Even just like, should we fall into an existing category, which is another topic itself maybe. Yeah. But, you know, person, user, sales, we didn't want to like limit ourselves in terms of our target audience. And so like, if you call yourself a sales intelligent platform, it's really like, okay, you're selling the sales, but what we see is that those three different parts of the product appeal to all sorts of different parts of go-to-market, marketing, sales, of course, and then customer success as well. It's like everyone's kind of like going off the same triggers or signals and then taking action on those, whether it's from the top of funnel at the marketing side all the way to like the expanding side of things. So customer just seemed like the best word to use there. Salesforce arguably spans all sorts of different roles is another good example and something we kind of used as a proxy where it's like a CRM, customer relationship management. I mean, they also work with prospects and other tools too. So I think customer was like the best word there.
I'm excited to see the demo and dive in more because often sales and customer success are working on different tools and one can do something and the other one can't or vice versa. So, but before we get there, I want to know a little bit more about what is the story of Common Room? How did it get started? How long has it been around? And why did you join?
It was a little bit late to the game, I guess, but originally Common Room started out as a platform for community managers. And that actually kind of got us to the place where we were because there is not an existing marketing automation platform or whatever kind of version of a platform for community leads and community managers and DevRel people. So we ended up building the core part of the product from scratch to help enable those teams. And so we started out with things like, you know, connecting to Slack as a signal because a lot of communities are built off of Slack, and then adding GitHub as a source of signal, and then just kept on like stacking signals along the way. And then at some point, we realized, oh, you know, we're capturing all the signal, we're unifying different signals across multiple different channels to a single user and a single account, and then we're allowing these teams to take action on them. And we actually got pulled into the direction of like, this is not just for these teams, it's for all of go-to-market. Some of our customers like Temporal and Notion saw that vision and were like, we're going to use this product outside of how you intended us to use it. And then we kind of like saw the light and we're like, wow, there's a massive opportunity here. And we have actually the infrastructure of something that can really enable all of go-to-market. And so we quickly just built the rest of the you know, signal spectrum. So now we've expanded into not only stuff that's helpful for community, like we grew out of that phase a year plus ago, and now we've expanded to signals like website tracking, signal capture on social, job changes and hiring trends, signals, like all the kind of point solutions that you would imagine like you can get signal from. We just built all that out. And so the core structure of Common Room, the platform, is essentially like grab signals, identify the person behind the signal and take action. And so because we've built all the hard part, it's easy for us to add on more signals for other teams or any team to like get benefit from.
Yeah, you had the engine already. And I was just like, okay, what other fuel sources do we add in here? That's a super interesting start with the community manager side. You're right, there aren't
really. Yeah, we kind of like stumbled into this moat of like, it's really, really hard to build a identity resolution and enrichment engine. And so like that being the core piece of technology that we built, where it's like, okay, we know this person's handle, we know their profile photo, you know, who are they? What account are they? Like, there's a bunch of technology and data processors and things like that to go into like getting confidence on this person is who we think they are. And so that piece of the product that we built at our very early stage helped us get way ahead of the competition and quickly get to speed on like the things that we didn't offer, like website tracking, which was launched, you know, a few months ago.
Very cool. And so why did you end up joining?
Oh, I saw that vision at an early stage. I mean, I've been at Common Room for more than a year and a half. And so I kind of saw that trending that way. And I was like, okay, this is a good team. The product is solid. And I'm going to join and like kind of force by hand into like moving into this go-to-market territory. And then I realized quickly that there was a lot of excitement on the exec side of things to just push that way. So as soon as our customers started pulling us there, we just completely, it was not like a pivot because like the core product infrastructure is still there, but it's just like the adding more things. And I kind of saw that vision. And now I'm like, oh, wow, I wish we would have like just gone full force with this a year plus ago. And so, yeah, that's what I joined. I think I saw the vision. Oh, the other thing I will say for joining is I worked at Segment and Retool and other places that were not really selling to marketers or go-to-market people. And I really wanted to join a place where I feel like a subject matter expert and I'm selling to people who I empathize with. And so that was also a core decision. And I really don't regret that at all. It's really nice to be able to post on LinkedIn and feel like you have some sort of authority of what you're saying. And I just was not in that comfort zone at these dev companies. So that's another reason for joining. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I work in mainly partnerships with my background. And whenever I see, you know, colleagues and friends who work at partner focused go-to-market tools, and I'm like, oh, it must be fun to just talk to your people all day and know exactly what they've been through and be able to relate. So that's awesome.
It's a double-edged sword because they can call you out if you're not doing your job well, but I appreciate that feedback. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also helping with the sense of mission on your end, that you actually are changing some set of practices that you operate on a day-to-day basis. And I think you can be a better advisor as well, right? Like, so the authority is probably the key word here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we use our product. We're dogfooding. We're getting results out of it. I'm a believer in it. Like I can kind of share those anecdotes, which also like really, really goes a long way to lead by example.
And so where is Common Room in terms of financing? Have they raised any money or are they?
Yeah. I think it's all public data at this point. We have raised a Series B round from Greylock and Index Partners, and then a lot of other advisors and investors as well. But those are like the two leading VC firms. But we did raise at a time when raising was, what time period was it? 2021. So it was kind of like in the frothy period, if you will, and have since had to like kind of grow into that valuation, which I'm not really sure what the valuation is, but we raised a good amount of money and now we're becoming much more efficient so that we can grow into that valuation. And we still have like a good amount of way to go. But yeah, it's been kind of an interesting journey because I think a lot of other companies are in that same scenario. And I like it because it helps us like firm up our health of the company. And it's like, okay, well, we want to be operating in a way where we're efficient and profitable and cash flow positive and all these things. And like, so we've had to kind of grow into that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of companies in this on the same boat. Even if you look at the stocks, you're going to see the same thing. You have higher multiples on these like a well-known brands.
It's like a 7x multiple is not that easy if you look at it in the private markets, right? So there's a lot to grow into.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a lot of small cap companies that needed to catch up with the leading brands, and also look at the Nvidia last couple of days, they had a hiccup and the entire index was just in question.
Yeah, Nvidia is the index at this point.
So they, you know, there's a certain trend in the market across the board. A lot of companies will need to prove the value. But on the other hand, it's a great challenge. You can really put your product in test and say, you know, actually, we can prove that we are indispensable. And when I look at the list of your customers on your web page, I was impressed with to see all these brands, right? That's really impressive. So I'm not sure if you're going to be in the bucket of companies that will have a higher pressure than the others as a private companies.
Yeah, it's an interesting market because there's new emerging signal point solutions coming from the bottoms up. And then there's from the tops down, like some of the giants that have been doing intent or things like that now trying to get into our space. But I'm just happy that there's a space that exists and there's healthy competition and we're just not alone on an island, because if you're alone on an island, there's probably not a real product or product market fit there. So I think we're well poised for winning a lot of the market and we have quite a lot of moats, but it's an interesting time period because you get a lot of questions and a lot of, you know, how are you different from this vendor or that vendor, like in different calls, but do a pretty good job of navigating all that, I think.
I love the confidence. I would call you out right now and ask you for a demo, because I think we can't wait to see the product and the use case you have. So yeah, what do you want to share with us today?
Let's do it. I did want to demo a new feature, and I don't know when this will actually be shared, but like it's new as of today. And so I'll give a quick overview to kind of like set the stage, and then I'll show like how this new signal capture feature works, because I think it's pretty
fun. Sounds good.
So the first place I wanted to start is showcasing the use case for Common Room as if we were a sales rep or marketing person. And so what Common Room does really well is pull in signal from all sorts of different places. I'm actually going to show this here. So we have the signal catalog. It's everything from your product signals from Segment or your data warehouse, website tracking signals, a signal from LinkedIn and Slack. And so these are all just the places where there's buying signal happening from potential buyers that you probably want to listen to and pull into Common Room. So we aggregate. It's really easy to connect these things. A lot of them are self-serve. You just need to have permissions to like authenticate and pull data in. The first thing here is just connecting to the signals that you care about. And then when you do that, you can build out these lists here. It's almost like a prioritized burn down list of, okay, here are these signal-based plays that our go-to-market teams can run. So here we see pricing page visits from economic buyers in the last 28 days. We have another group here of job changers who have used our product before and they're now at a new company. We have people showing surges in product usage. The list kind of goes on. You can do it both from a contact lens, like people that we want to reach out to who are showing these signals, and then also on like the third party organizations who have relevant job listings open, or organizations with a good score who have 10K mentions with AI initiatives. And so these are all just kind of like a burn down list of how someone can prioritize their day. And so from here, if I'm a rep or even a marketing person, like I can say like, oh, this is an interesting signal, but I want to actually get a little bit more granular. And so for each of these people, and let me try and find someone who I actually know here so they don't get mad at me for blowing up their spot. I could probably find someone. Oh, here we go. Katie Copas. I know Katie personally, so I don't think she'll be upset with me for sharing her. So I'm going to click preview on Katie's profile. And what you'll see here is all of the information, all of the signals and attributes that we know about Katie. So we have her phone number, her LinkedIn. We have how she's engaged with us on HubSpot. We have her product usage data here. We have her website visits. She was on the pricing page list here. So you can see like what pages she's actually viewed. And then we can see what kind of activities she's engaged with us on LinkedIn and Slack and other channels. This is kind of the identity resolution and enrichment part of the product. We do this across all the people who we've identified signal from and organizations as well. So if I click on the context setting here, we can see that there are, should be like 45,000 or so people in this instance here. And if you click into any one of these people, we'll kind of like it show you that same kind of view. Of course, everyone's going to have different signals and different usage and all that kind of stuff, but we do this across your entire database of contacts. And some of our customers have thousands of contacts in here, and some have, you know, millions, depending on the scale of their company and like people engaging with them.
Sorry to interrupt you. I'm curious, how do you weight the different type of signals? So it's just, there is a view for that, or that's something that they need to do in a different window, or you treat all the signals equally?
Yeah, that's a good question. So there are certain plays that are kind of prescriptive for, say, like a ops person or maybe like a sales leader to run. They're like, I want my team running these pricing page visits from economic buyers. And then they let's say we want to add a filter here for owner. And we can say, like, let's look at anyone who's in Anita's book of business. Hope there's no one for Anita. Maybe I'll do Bob here. Hopefully Bob. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to build this view for Bob and it's going to be super prescriptive. And I'm a sales manager or I'm a SDR manager and I want my team running these plays. So that's one way to prioritize. The other thing that we have that you can do at like a larger scale is to score your signals off of or over to prioritization or level of intent or how the strength of the signal you want to score on. And it's both the action that happened and the like fit, like the firmographics and demographics of the person who is behind the signal. So we can create a score here for contact score. And then we can say fit criteria is okay. We want anyone who is, is that a company that has at least 5 million in capital raised? And we're going to add a parameter there. And if they have actually more than, 10 million in capital raised, we're going to score that signal higher because that is a better fit for our ICP. And then we can also do the same thing for behavior. So I can say URL visited is the homepage. So it'll just be like the common room homepage. I can say that level of importance is kind of small on the level of visiting a pricing page or, engaging with a LinkedIn post or something like that. But then if they visit the pricing page, let's make that a high importance signal. And so we have this ability to be really flexible of the person setting the criteria for who's a high fit persona or high fit organization. And then also like, what's the strength of the signal? And these are all adjustable, toggleable to your own use case. So we create that score and that ends up showing on each of the person or account level as well. So it's both for person and account scores that you can create and customize and do all that stuff. So you can weight it that way, or you can do it just like the very prescriptive way of like, I know this play works, like let's run this play. It doesn't matter what their lead score is. So from here, let's go to this like job changers from former product users cohort here, since I was on the pricing page one already. I can say, okay, as a rep or as a marketing person, I'm going to come in here and take action on these signals. So I know Oleg here, so I'm going to select him, and then I'm going to send him to an outreach sequence that's particular to this specific job changer signal. So I'm going to say add him to a sequence, and I can just select that sequence, whether it's from Outreach or Apollo or SalesLoft, whatever sequencing tool you want to use. We could say change, job changes, former product user, add that person to the sequence. And so this becomes just kind of like a workbench or a single pane of glass for a rep to come in and just go through their day-to-day flow in a prescriptive way. We like to think of it as like a way to make every rep a top performer, because you can kind of like replicate the workflows of your best performing reps and just say like, okay, as a rep, come in, start here and just burn down this list. And then we've built out all the sequences and all the messaging and all that stuff for you.
Got it.
I can go show the new feature.
Please.
If that's helpful.
Yes.
Just kind of like a nice primer, I think. Okay. So one of the signals that we just launched is a Chrome extension, which you can pull any signal from LinkedIn. And before, this was not possible with the LinkedIn API. You'd only be able to pull in signal from your company handle, which is not all that great. So there's a lot of different use cases for this where, you're looking at like a CEO of a competitor is posting something and they're getting lots of traction, but like you had that feature launched 3 months ago, or there's some thought leader in your space who's talking about things that put people in market for, your product. Like you can pull in that signal from LinkedIn. So I have a post from Lizzie here, got a decent amount of reactions and likes. And so we can pull in anyone who's reacted to this post here. And to do that, you'd need to, one, install our Chrome extension. It's actually really easy to sign up for Common Room and add that. And then we see this add post button here. So I can click on this. And what'll happen is it'll say, okay, do you want to add this post to Common Room, which will pull in all the signal from this post? And we can also create a segment, and I'm going to say it like Lizzie's hot takes. And so from here, I can add all these people to Common Room with the click of a button. And they will now be added to one of those kind of like burn down lists that I was showing earlier. This time, the directive is like, okay, we know the people who have engaged with Lizzie's post here. let's send them a personalized follow-up message. But wait, there's more. So the other thing that our Chrome extension does here, and maybe Lizzie, I'll just use you as an example. It's kind of funny. You liked your own post or someone else. Maybe if there's someone else who's on here, I can use as an example.
Just choose me.
Let's pretend Lizzie is someone who interacted with this post who we want to actually reach out to. We don't actually have to do that from Common Room. We can do that straight from LinkedIn. So now I'm on Lizzie's profile. I can also click on our Chrome extension. And from here, since Lizzie is not in Common Room right now, I can say add contact. And what'll happen is that in the background, our engine for enrichment will kind of like go through its thing of doing waterfall enrichment and identifying who Lizzie is. And then also from here, we can send Lizzie an outbound email or create a LLM generated message so that we can reach out to her and send her like a direct message on LinkedIn. So I'm going to click on simple intro here. This is a bit in beta right now, so I don't know how good the message is here, but it's at least a starting point. It says, I noticed your recent post about Next Roles, innovative work, blah, 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 blah. Like, let me show you how.
Good.
You know, not bad, not bad.
Yeah.
And so the next thing that we can do also, instead of, you know, sending that message on LinkedIn, we can add Lizzie to an outbound sequence that includes that personalized message. So I can say add to sequence. We have this AI snippet sequence here. I actually created another one today, which I'll just add you to, Lizzie, if you don't mind. Chrome. And I'll say, that should be coming from me, not Anita. I don't want to blow up Anita's spot. And I'll say add you to sequence. And so this email, although I don't know if you still use this email, we'll be getting that email coming from me. That should be like fun for you to see. And then the last thing we can do is hop back over to Common Room. I can go into my segments. Go into my segments here. I should be able to see Lizzie's hot takes, the contacts who have engaged with that post. And then I can turn this into a task view and then do the same thing at scale. So I can select all these people and add them to that same sequence that we used before. And we can see if we toggle through here, there'll be those AI generated snippets. I'm not going to do this because it's not in the right kind of context, but I think you get the point of like, you can pull in signal from LinkedIn. And then also add a filter. Let's say like, we only want to pull in people who are economic buyers. We've defined economic buyers by director level or above. And so like, this is the group of people who interacted with your post we want to reach out to.
This is good. You really went deep into that stuff. And I love how you layered this like a basic thing and then the new feature. What I like about that is that you guys went the other direction than the most of these tools going. I think there is a lot of tools that are taking information from LinkedIn and trying to set up the sequence so that everything goes through the sequence, like Apollo. I've noticed that it's just using that. But you guys, you went other way around, right? Like you're trying to have a set of actions you can take based on the information that is already on LinkedIn, create something that is custom, contact and approach the contact based on that content. And then eventually, if you want to add it to the sequence and strengthen the outbound signal to the contact, you know, you eventually can do this in a more traditional way. I think this is a missing piece. And I don't think LinkedIn is investing enough in their own tool. They're always behind. So you have a more room to take that space and eventually provide the users with that enhancement. So I think it's a really good direction and a good feature that people should start using.
Yeah, that was one that we wanted to, we saw success on our own. And it was a very like tedious process to pull in that signal, we were dumping it into a spreadsheet and then uploading it through a Zapier flow. And it was just very, very tedious. And then even then it broke and was not the best. And so we kind of like built our own use case. And we always got questions from customers asking if we could do this from any LinkedIn post. So we're just like, we got to build this thing. But yeah, the whole picture is just like, okay, that's one signal, but there's also product signals. There's also, there's hundreds. Actually have like maybe we could share this in the show notes. I have a 100 signals that you can use or for ideation.
I think something that Demetrius and I constantly complain about on here is like the sales outreach you get is very basic and it doesn't connect with you and who you are and what you've been doing. And it's hard sometimes to direct sales reps to put together like thoughtful outreach and cold outreach on LinkedIn. And this is a great tool. And I think you nailed it, of like making all of your reps the top rep, because it hands them that recipe of like, what can you reach out that will connect with the person, make it seem like you actually did your research, which you did because it all got shown to you right in that little window, and now have AI help you at least start with a template that you can outreach with, which is awesome.
That's the thing we've seen with our approach to AI is that, you know, if everyone's going off the same prospecting list, then you're essentially commoditizing all the AI messages because they're all trained on the same exact data. So you don't have anything bespoke or personalized to your own product or use case. And so like by pulling in that signal, the AI can learn and be like, okay, here's what we know about this person. Like, let's customize the message so that we can stand out from the pack instead of becoming like this AI spam cannon that a lot of other AI tools might become. Or that's where kind of where we see some of the future is. You need data in to be quality and differentiated so that you can stand out.
And even like a sequence in Apollo or something, like it's somewhat personalized, but it's going to be repetitive to some degree, which in some cases, that's great. Like if you're the onboarding stage, you can send a somewhat repetitive email because you're doing the same steps. But to try to catch someone's attention, it's hard right now.
I think it's hard to be creative with Apollo. That's what I noticed.
Or it just takes the right kind of rep that like can be creative, but like essentially we're trying to take that creativity of the rep and like make it possible for more people or everyone.
I think what you're trying to do, you're trying to use the unique and freshly created content and convert this to something that is more creative.
Yeah. When I think about the like holy grail of go-to-market, we've been talking about this forever. It's like reach the right person with the right message at the right time.
Yep.
I don't think we're ever going to like perfectly get there, but this is like a big step change in the right direction because you can see the signals coming in, you can take action really quickly, and then you're like hitting them with the right kind of message. So it's getting us quite a lot of the way there. It's not perfect, but yeah, that's the vision.
Yeah, that's the first sin that the AI created in this space, right? People try to use this to templatize everything and increase the volume. Whereas the volume is not really cutting through because if everybody's sending more volume, you're degrading the value of the message. And, you know, everybody can tell whether something was automatically generated or something was crafted. But I think, you know, to your point, and there's a philosophical debate about where the LLM value is ending, and that's among all these engineers that are trying to make something out of it, is that, yeah, if everybody's using the same data set, at some point, there's no value in the information that it's spitting out. Right? Because there's nothing new that it has been added and it's just multiplying the same information. So everybody knows about everything. There's nothing coming in. On the other hand, you have an ongoing trend since 2020 that actually accelerates even more now with the prevalence of the AI. 71% of buyers are expecting to be treated in some form of personalized messaging. Right, that number is telling, right? Like that is telling you that whatever you guys are doing in that space makes a lot of sense because it's just aligning with the trend. And that's not just some number that I'm pulling out of whatever. This is something that was reported by McKinsey, and they regularly testing this, right?
Well, we've seen similar numbers for the expectation of the buyer journey too, in the sense that, you know, they don't want to show their face, like not even visit your website like they did in the past. Like, so they're getting farther and farther removed from the sales teams or whoever being in control of the buyer journey. And so that's why we're building Common Room One, but like the expansion of signals outside of your traditional marketing automation platform where someone hits your website, fills out a form, opens an email, does yada, yada, yada. That's all like them opting in a way. Now the buyer journey is happening in different parts of the internet. It's happening on LinkedIn. People are trying your product without wanting to talk to anyone. There's different social communities. There's open source. And so because of that, our idea is to kind of meet buyers where they are and capture all that signal data outside so that sales teams and marketing teams can follow up in a more prioritized, like efficient way.
Yeah, that's 100%. I agree with you. And also there's an ongoing trend to leverage more of the proprietary data and the first party data. As the Google is removing the cookies, right? And it's replacing with Chrome essentially.
Right.
But, you know, you know, the cookies are going away. So a lot of the static information, or it's, I would say, outdated information, not the most recent, it's eventually not going to be used as often or effectively as it is with the proprietary first party data, right? So that's what you do as well. You leverage, you just showed us how you're going to leverage the LinkedIn post. And here we go, right? It's the same is going to be with Meta. The same is going to be with other platforms that have their own data sets.
Yeah, I can see it playing out that way, where the companies that win are the like marketing teams who focus on like generating all this awareness. And then because they're generating awareness, it's creating these buying signals that power your LLM model. And those are the differentiator that make you stand out for your outbound approach. So, you know, let's hope that that's where everything goes, because I think we're well positioned to win that market. Trends are going that way, but you know, you never know what happens. Like in the next year or something, could completely change. So,
absolutely,
that's a better experience, right? Like if you're producing high value, engaging content,
do what's best for the user, and like ultimately, you'll probably win out. You just have to make sure that you're known and you get that content distributed. That's where we focus a lot of our energy on the marketing side at Common Room.
Yeah, and I know you showed us mostly the sales use case in the demo, but I can already see like how this helps various teams collaborate. So a couple of use cases that popped up in my mind is like product usage in adoption, different signals you're getting there, forms the product team, but also informs the customer success team to reach out at different points and chat with customers about it. I can also see a situation in which like marketing needs a customer to do something with them. Well, who's posting about us on LinkedIn? Like, can we go and find someone to go be our champion or speak on a panel with us because they're engaging here and not just ask customer success? So I can already see the overlap.
Yeah, the common marketing use case that we see the most is, okay, we're doing that same thing we just talked about. We're like generating awareness. It's just like, we're not generating awareness. People like come to our site and fill out a form. And so what marketing you want to capture is that attribution of like, oh, we're generating all this buzz on LinkedIn and Twitter and, you know, all these places where our watering holes where our users are hanging out. And so we can capture that information and then sync it over automatically in a workflow to HubSpot. And so marketing can be like, hey, these are qualified leads. We want our salespeople to reach out to these people and we're going to take credit for that. And so we've seen a lot of our Apollo GraphQL is one customer that comes to mind where they increase their qualified marketing leads by like 30% by tapping into these signals where people are going to your website and filling out a form. So that's the core use case in marketing that we've seen, in addition to like all the like semantic type of stuff or sentiment type stuff, I should say. Yeah.
What a great attribution tool, because that is such a hard thing to determine as a marketing team.
Yeah, we use it ourselves too. So yeah, not to like to stack my numbers, but it's nice to have that signal to operationalize our SDR team.
I think attribution is getting more and more complex. So having tools that will help you to put this together and really see through, it's absolutely critical. So let's move into the go-to-market strategy. How are you selling this? Like who is your ICP? Where is the product fit? You know, let's talk about that.
Yeah, we kind of see our ICP as any team or leader responsible for some sort of like pipe gen or revenue number. And that kind of spans all of go-to-market. Like on the sales and SDR side of things, it's of course like pipe gen or like closing deals. Like that's a very obvious one. On the marketing side of things, it's less like the brand awareness type of marketers and more like the demand gen type folks who are like, okay, you know, I need to generate pipeline. That's the number that I'm graded on. And then on the customer success side of things, it's like, okay, can we use these signals to expand and get more revenue from our customers who are getting value out of our product too? And then it's also like team size, like anywhere from, you know, 5 people plus on their go-to-market team all the way to teams of like thousands, which we also serve some of those like big logos on there, like Notion and Atlassian and stuff like that.
You named some big customers in there, but I was curious about how small you went. So good to know that it can be a relatively small team. And do you see that typically, like it's the sales team will adopt it, but then eventually customer success and marketing and others adopt it, or do they go full swoop into adoption?
Our champions tend to be on the sales side. And like, since we started with community, like that has also been a nice like expansion motion where like a community manager adopted it, pulled in all the signal. And then, you know, it happens that like they want to pass things over to their sales team to generate revenue and show their work. I think it comes from all directions, but typically it's on the like sales rep and probably like let's use this to generate pipeline because we're in a pipeline crunch right now. We want to be super efficient like that. That tends to be the initial adopters. And then very quickly, actually, other parts of the team end up saying like, oh, this is super valuable. I can use this for this use case, and then it expands very quickly. So our NRR is really solid.
That's awesome. You mentioned like having competitors coming from the top down from incumbents and kind of bottom up with new AI and startups in this space. I'm curious, what do you see as your kind of top competitors? And there's probably some partnerships in that space too. So it might be a blur.
We have a lot of like, I guess, frenemies or overlap, like where, you know, Apollo, for example, is a good one we mentioned earlier, where, you know, they're great for prospecting. Like, they're essentially like saying, you know, we can hand off to your sales team, like, the right kind of prospects so that you can prospect into and like generate pipeline. So there's like overlap there. And then they're maybe getting into the intent space a little bit. But so we kind of see that from like tops down, like Apollo, Sixth Sense, like those types of intent slash prospecting tools were kind of like trying to help the same teams out with the same problem, but definitely like highly differentiated. Especially on like the intent side of things, where intent is kind of like this black box of like, okay, this intent score from this account, like looked at this content somewhere, but I don't really know much more than that. And so we try and pride ourselves in like understanding like the actual thing behind the intent, and then also the person and the in addition to the account behind the intent. So that's like one differentiator. And so like that's tops down. And then we're definitely seeing from bottoms up in point solutions, where it's like there, I looked at G2 and there's like 150 or so, or maybe 130 plus vendors who do website visitor de-anonymization. And it's like, okay, that's a really crowded market. That's one of the pieces that we do as part of signal capture, but you know, we're not a point solution. So we differentiate ourselves from those point solutions that are more like bottoms up in terms of like the whole breadth of all signals that you would capture and act on.
Yeah, I was curious, as you're talking about getting in with the sales team first, which they usually have the budget, so it makes sense. But I was curious of like, okay, now customer success, or more so marketing, starts to use Common Room and they're like, oh, I don't think we need to use this other tool anymore because we can actually get the enrichment from here. And if that's a trend you see where you're actually saving teams time by being able to replace other tools.
Yeah, there's like a handful of different categories that we Common Room consolidates, everything from, like you mentioned, enrichment to website de-anonymization to job change tracking to product-led sales. Like, these are all point solutions that we can consolidate. And it's also really helpful. It's like, sure, they probably have some features and they've been around for longer than us that are different. But we found that the approach is consolidating all that into one single pane of glass. Really helps out with the cognitive load of like all the things you need to do in your day to day. And like, you get this visibility into a single user profile and single account, and you have all the context of all the signals versus like having to jump from tap to tap to figure out like how to go about your day.
So I was going to ask actually earlier, if you get requests from teams to have this show up in the CRM, like in some type of widget, but I think you end up getting, like, it can be overwhelming in Salesforce or HubSpot because you're like, let me look at this data and then this data and this data. And yeah.
Well, we do that. And we have the same kind of workflows. Like I mentioned, you know, you can sync any leads over to HubSpot. And then we have the bi-directional sync between like your CRM, HubSpot or Salesforce and Common Room. So you can get all those signals into either one of those platforms if you need to. They're not really built for them, but some teams, especially on the ops side, are just like, I must have my team work directly out of Salesforce. They have to have this specific view. I forget what they used to call them in Salesforce for them to like burn down. And like, they're not going to operate unless they do that. And like, we're like, okay, we can enable that. We can do that. But then like, eventually we try to like win them over to our side, where it's like, it's actually better to work out a Common Room for this because you get so much more visceral identity capture and like all the things that aren't exactly included in the CRM. But we have the like widget and we have the ability to transfer data over there. We just think that that's not going to be the way of the future. I don't know. Yeah.
I think I see like this works in two ways. One of them is the tools are created for multiple approaches so that the teams can really select the way they want to work with the tool.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And very often the tools are not designed to build this that way and they fail on the adoption. Sounds like you guys solve it because you said the NRR is up to the roof. So another way, which is, yeah, you can actually embed it in the existing typical process where you know that the marketers, sellers, and the customer success teams are moving, you know, back and forth. And you know that every single day there is a portion of the activities that would be dedicated to specific thing that they can do in the tool, right? So yeah.
This is not some like novel idea or anything. It's just like, essentially by talking to customers and stuff like that, they're like, this is the way we need to operate. We're like, oh, we need to build that. So we just ended up like one of the parts of our culture is just talking to lots of customers and understanding the problems and building things that are useful for them. And so like by way of that, we built all these integrations and all that stuff too. So, you know, that's kind of how it all developed.
No, it's like, I actually applaud this because when you're creating the versatility of the different sources, you're by default creating something that has a multiple approaches.
Yeah.
When you describe the ICP from 5 to 1,000, I mean, that's pretty broad, right? So you're going to have a diversity of approaches here, right? And you're definitely going to have a less rigid process when you have a less employees, right, on board. So that's great to hear that you guys were thinking from the early beginning about that. But I think it's also the notion of creating a community first before you started to create the product that actually enabled that approach.
Yeah, we kind of like stepped into that maybe like a happy accident or something. But like now that we have it, it's just like, okay, this makes, you know, we're glad we built from those kind of first principles because it's really helping us with that signal expansion and like integrating with all these things in the way that we do. Yeah.
Awesome. So what's next on the product roadmap? I you shared with us like a brand new feature that you're releasing. So what's the next thing that you guys are working on and where you want to take it?
Yeah. So there's a lot of work to be done. I think when I was showing that AI snippet demo, there's not a whole lot of flexibility there. And there's a lot of prompt engineering and actually like ways that we can help AI be more of a actual assistant that you can use at scale. And so we're doing a lot of more investment there. Like, I think we're at a good start, but things like researching the accounts, like ingesting as many signals as possible and like letting AI do that, like powering that AI model to do more of that work to help all go-to-market teams do less like tedious work and do the work that's more like the hard human part of selling. So we're going to be investing a good amount there. And then we've quickly built all these different signals and like we're running out of different signal point solutions to knock down. But like with this last one, we're like pretty far along. And I think we're going to go back to now making the product even more performance, investing in some tech debt and so that we can provide the best user experience possible. And then also in more integrations. Like one of the things I learned that segment is that the more integrations and more sources you can capture, the bigger the moat you have is. So I think we'll just be prioritizing those other integrations for signal capture across any part of the internet where there's data that's capturable via API. Like that's kind of our vision of where we'll pull signal from if it's useful for go-to-market teams. So
yeah, Segment is certainly very good at that. And it seems like you guys are too with how many integrations you've built in a pretty short period of time, which is awesome. I think something I'm curious about in terms of like roadmap and future and AI is one of the things you mentioned often the intent or the score that like an ABM platform or something else is prescribing to an account is secret sauce, like black box. That's like the thing that they're selling. And what I think you showed us that's great is like you can kind of set that score yourself, but also that is maybe challenging for teams to do. Like, what is it? I mean, they might know their high level ICP, but how do they get into all these details? And I'm curious if you'll actually start to provide analytics that like reviews Salesforce or HubSpot or whatever CRM data and close one accounts and start prescribing like, here's who you should focus on, or maybe already
do
that.
Yeah, we actually do that, but we do it at a tier that is a little bit more pricey. And that's because it's like our enterprise tier. And the reason we do that, it's like machine learning based scoring. And there's like a bunch of compute that needs to happen there. And you also need to be at a tier where you have a bunch of data, like your sales team sending out all these emails, you're reporting back the opportunities being created and closed won deals. And so people who want that or need that have a lot of data and they just are like, okay, let me just throw a bunch of data at you. And then your machine learning can figure out how to score this the right way. So we have both versions where it's like the version that I kind of showed, which is like, you know, do this yourself like you would with like a scoring marketing automation platform. And then there's also the version of like throw all the data at it and let AI, it's really machine learning, not AI, but like let machine learning do the work for you. It'll surface the leads or accounts that are the best ones to go after. And then the other thing that I don't know if you caught it in the demo, but if you hover over the score, it's not a black box. It tells you like, okay, here's all the things that we identified that are feeding that score. And that works for both the version that I showed and also the machine learning version.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, it's very nascent. Like there's not a lot of people doing that advanced stuff yet, but the end state or the end world is just like, okay, we don't know what signals are going to work. Let's just capture everything. And then based on like our performance of our pipeline and funnel, we'll figure out like these are the signals that are the ones that really matter or the combination of signals that matter and score the leads accordingly. And then just surface up all these best leads and best accounts to reps. And then maybe AI can also just take those signals and be like, okay, here's what message you need to say. And then, you know, maybe at that point we're in full automation mode. I don't know.
Yeah. And if compute continues to decrease in costs.
And we need to keep our cogs down at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, we have to. I mean, that's a kind of given, right? That's the nature of the business. I'm just curious to hear your take on where all these sales productivity tools are going We discussed the data element that is becoming more prevalent to use a certain type of data versus others. We discussed, you know, the intent that you just mentioned, right? And also the machine learning. Where you think the market in that category will go?
If I had the answer to that, I would be probably be on my way to being super rich, and I don't know. I have no idea.
It's good to speculate. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I can speculate that. What can I speculate on? I can speculate that that the people who own the data and the infrastructure are the ones who ultimately win. And so I think our approach is more on like the data capture side of things. And then what I mean by infrastructure is like, it's kind of the same analogy of the gold rush. It's like, you know, you want to be selling picks or like the infrastructure to like capture gold, not the like gold or Bitcoin or whatever itself. And so I think those types of products are going to be the winning AI products. And then the winning sales products are probably the ones that like have the most unique and differentiated data. I don't know. I'm very biased though, I guess.
Oh, no. We are all biased on that topic, right? There's more things that we don't know than we know. But based on your description, I'm thinking about ZoomInfo. I've been contemplating about their future for a while, thinking the data they're selling to a large degree is getting commoditized.
Yeah.
And only these additional tools that are giving a layer of augmentation and that are narrowing down to match the use cases, giving them the chance to maintain the high margins, because their margins on the data is pretty high, right? That's the whole premise, yeah. Right? To how long you can maintain that high margin while you're selling this to existing customers. And probably for that reason, they focus so much on the investor relations deck on the companies that have 1,000+ employees, right? Because that's where the upside is. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard for me to speculate on specific vendors. Like, I'm not a user of ZoomInfo or like, I mean, I guess I knew the space somewhat, and I feel like Apollo's kind of eaten a good amount of their lunch because, you know, they realize that this data is commoditized and we can offer like this self-serve, super transactional, no-brainer type of pricing. But then, you know, what does that mean? Is it just like a race to the bottom for those types of companies? And so I think like, if you're going to be an enduring type of company that's going to have the right kind of unit economics or right kind of like health of the business, you need to differentiate somewhere. I think at Common Room, we differentiate in that like this signal capture and identity thing is super hard to build. So that's our moat. And we're just going to keep on investing in those areas to expand that moat, because it's going to be really hard to catch up if you don't have that. Or it's going to be, you know, I don't think AI is going to be a magic bullet to like do all those things. And we're already using AI ourselves to help out. So
you still need to build the integration and the engine that powers it. And that, yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. We talked about a bunch of companies and customers throughout this, but I'd love to hear one or two companies that you think are doing really cool things in the space and you're excited about.
Oh man, who's doing cool things in the space? What's coming? Oh, so I wrote a post, I don't know if it was last week, around enduring brands and that like all marketing should be brand marketing. And there's a few companies that I called out there. And one was Linear, which is, I think, like kind of a cop out a little bit. But I think Linear does a really, really good job of branding their marketing through everything that they do and probably don't even have like a brand marketer. And it's just like everything they do looks slick. It looks super cool. It looks fast. They just like know their brand. And I don't think they've like, it's been mostly founder led. That's like kind of been driving all of that. The other company who I always love and like kind of reference on this post too is 37 Signals. And it's like their brand is just, or Basecamp or whatever the heck, I always forget the name of what they changed to. Jason Fried and DHH's company. It's like their brand is being contrarian or thinking from first principles and challenging the status quo. And so like the brands are the companies that I like are the ones that like really know that identity and lean into it. So I'll say that.
Yep.
I think it requires certain culture to build.
Yeah, it kind of has to be tops down, maybe. I don't know. I feel like they're all opinionated CEOs that comes from you.
Do you have your top three tips that you want to share with us?
So this is a question I get a lot. It's like, there's 100 or thousands of different possible signal-based plays that we can run. Like, which ones should I start with? And the unfortunate answer is it depends. Like, it depends on, you know, which signals you can capture. Are you PLG? Like, if you're not, like, product-led signals are probably not where to start. So it very much depends on your go-to-market motion. But I can speak to the three signal groupings that work really well for us at Common Room. And our team is dogfooding these and getting really outsized results compared to like, you know, more cold ABM approach. Mm-hmm. So those signals are what I just showed, like social listening signals on LinkedIn, especially those from posts that are thought leaders and creators that we partner with, from our own internal employees, like myself, our CEO posting, and then also our competitors. So that, like, pulling in that signal is working really well as a play. Then there's the traditional, this is also like an easy one, I guess, which is product-led signals. If you have a self-serve product, like that is, at least someone is raising their, not raising their hand, but they're opting in, they want to try your product. So they're trying to get to some use case. And so if you can uncover what that product data is signaling, whether it's an integration connected or inviting someone or a big spike in usage or a big drop in usage or whatever, like those types of things that people are trying to do with your product is a really great signal to take action on and say, like, I'm going to lend a helping hand. That works really well for us. And then the last signal I'll say is also another kind of easy one is website tracking. So not just website tracking, like did they hit our pricing page or did they hit our docs page, but like what's the frequency of pages that are visited and in what time period? And then is it from multiple people or not? So like those are the types of signals that we, you know, if we see someone in quick succession, like hitting a bunch of pages, that's a really good sign that they're like just trying to consume as much content as possible and like are maybe heavily considering using our product.
Very cool. Yeah. And I'm excited to share this top 100 signals to look at as well. So we'll share that in the show notes, as we said before.
Cool. Yeah. That'll give people analysis paralysis for sure.
Well, thank you. That's it for the episode. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing the demo and chatting about all things sales and go-to-market tools.
Yeah, that was really fun. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the RepTech Podcast. Please subscribe on the listening platform of your choice and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing.